our spiritual food in this amazing Feast of Tabernacles, Mr. Chris Kozer.
Well, a good morning to everyone, or buongiorno, which more or less exhausts most of my Italian, but I am trying to learn. Well, literally ever since landing here in Italy, my family and I have felt incredibly, incredibly welcomed. And when I say literally ever since landing, I mean just a few minutes after we landed and I'm waiting outside the restroom holding my 7-month-old daughter. Several employees of the airport stopped by, and though I didn't speak the same language they did, my daughter Annabelle did, and so they had an excellent exchange, and they all seemed to understand each other just perfectly well and enjoy each other tremendously. And this trend has continued. In fact, I toyed with the idea of just having myself introduced as Annabelle's father, since I think more people know my 7-month daughter than myself and my wife combined. And so for those keeping track, then yesterday you heard from Annabelle's uncle, my brother. In 2 days you will hear from Annabelle's grandfather. Henceforth shall we be known. And I have appreciated this tremendously because it just goes to show the incredible animation and friendliness and familial flair that the Italian people have. And it reminds me very much of days past when I used to spend time with my grandmother, who was Sicilian, is Sicilian, I should say, and family get-togethers of the Italian side of the family in the middle of the room being very loud and very enthusiastic, and the Austrian side of the room sort of on the outskirts being very calm and Austrian. But just as God imparted different aspects of his nature to men and to women so that we might, you know, come together and learn about one another and thus learn about different aspects of him, I think he also encoded certain aspects of his character more liberally to different cultures than to others. And so it is this that has just filled me with incredible joy to be able to see this once again, the incredible flair for rejoicing that the Italian brethren have. And I just want to thank everyone for the incredible welcome that we've all received. And as my brother brought out in scripture yesterday, it is mentioned multiple times, not just in the portions involving second tithe, but also in the portions of the observance of the feast itself, that we are commanded to rejoice. And for some of us, that comes more naturally than others. And so again, that is why it is so wonderful to be in a place where rejoicing seems to be such an integral part of the culture. Now, we rejoice in many, many ways at the Feast of Tabernacles. We rejoice in eating together. We rejoice in fellowship. But one of the only ways I can think of where we all rejoice together at the same time is what we have just done, and that is singing together in praise to God. And so the praise to God in song is the topic I'd like to discuss with everyone today. But not just any form of praise in music. I'd like to talk about a specific form of praise in music that is mentioned specifically in the Bible, all the way from the Psalms through the latter parts of the book of Revelation. And that is the concept of a new song. And so what I'd like to ask everyone here to do from the moment this message is over onward for the remainder of this feast and hopefully when we all go back home, is that when we're all singing together, let the songs we sing be as new songs to the Lord. Now, what does that mean? Sounds a little bit enigmatic, right? We have a book here. It has songs that are fairly old, most of them. The Italian hymnal is even smaller than the U.S. hymnal. So what exactly does this mean? Well, let's dig into this a little bit and discover what exactly a new song in Scripture really was. Well, first off, it's the most sought-after form of musical praise that I can find anywhere in Scripture. It's mentioned in a minimum of 6 Psalms, the book of Isaiah, at least twice in the book of Revelation, and elsewhere as well. And it's something that we're basically told to sing. And if you paid attention to the very first song we sang, it began with that very command. So let's turn to the book of Psalms, and we'll go to the 33rd chapter, and we'll start to read in book one. And this probably will sound familiar. It's very similar to another psalm as well. But I think this one will capture very nicely for us. We're going to read verses roughly 1 through 5. So Psalm 33 and verse 1 states, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous." I'm reading from the New King James Version. "For praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song." Maybe we gloss over that sometimes when we read this. "Play skillfully with a shout of joy, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." And of course, it goes on from there. So we know this is something that we're told to do. It's something that the psalmist rhetorically states that everyone should do repeatedly. But again, what exactly is it? Well, it turns out that a lot of the biblical commentaries have quite a substantial amount to say. And I'm going to just summarize many of the things that are said, because it would take us far too long to go through the actual several pages there are in Barnes and Clark's commentaries alone. But to summarize, a new song can be, yes, the obvious definition, one composed specifically for an occasion or a brand new, never before sung song. But it could also be a song of particular excellence for extraordinary things God does so that we can excel in praise and thanksgiving to him. It can be a song expressive of special feelings for a certain occasion, like perhaps the Feast of Tabernacles. It can be a song appropriate to new understanding of God's goodness, mercy, or other aspects. And finally, it can be a song performed or sung on an occasion when new truth is made known. So if a new song is sung, something special is happening between God and his people, and there's an awful lot more to it than simply a song that was never sung before. So in light of this knowledge, let's go ahead and turn to another one of the Psalms that addresses this concept, and that is Psalm 40. And again, we're going to look at verse 1 through 5. Now, let's try to read this in light of what we have just heard. Psalm 40 and verse 1 says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry." A bit more of an emotional psalm than the last. "He brought me up a terrible pit out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. He established my steps. He put a new song in my mouth." So think about that. Things are down, but the Lord inclines his ears. He puts a new song into my mouth. He put a song for a special occasion in my mouth. He put a song of particular excellence to match the extraordinary things of God into my mouth. He put a song expressive of special feelings into my mouth. He put a song appropriate to new understanding of God's mercy into my mouth. He put a song of the occasion where truth is made known into my mouth. Changes the whole tone of the psalm, doesn't it? When we think about what that really meant and why the psalmist chose to use this very specific term. Let's try another. Let's turn to the book of Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. Begin to read in the 10th verse. So that's Isaiah 42. And verse 10. "Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you coastlands and your inhabitants of them. Let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voice. The village that Kedar inhabits, let the inhabitants of Selah sing. Let them shout from the tops of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. We're in the coastlands, right? The Lord shall go forth like mighty man. He shall stir up his zeal like a man of war. He shall cry out, yes, shout aloud, and he shall prevail against his enemies. So not just joy. He's saying he wants everyone to learn about God in this psalm. There's much more to it than it might seem on the surface. A song of new knowledge being made known, and that we should rejoice because of it. And even I would encourage everyone later on today to read Revelation 5, 9 and Revelation 14, 3 and meditate on those scriptures with this context of a new song in mind. So we sort of know now what a new song is, but how do we actually sing a new song? Again, we have songs that aren't specifically new. We've sung many of them multiple times. So how do we do this? Well, I claim that it's possible, even through singing songs that we have sung before, to sing a new song to God. Now, how do we do this? Well, we can sing songs of particular excellence, as was brought out by the commentaries. We can sing something worthwhile and with sincerity. Or we can sing songs expressive of special feelings on the occasion to make a joyful noise, as it were. And I will also note at this point, particularly on the point of making a joyful noise, that the commentaries also allow for the instrumentalists to partake in this singing as well. It is included in the language of the scripture that instruments are not exempt. And so that is, you can sing, as it were, a new song through the playing of various instruments as well. So even the accompanists here, who we appreciate very, very much, most of us have to use the CDs on a weekly basis, so we're very, very grateful for that. But they as well get to participate in the singing of a new song, even through the playing as well. And finally, this is what I would like us to focus on for the remainder of the song service today and for the remainder of this feast. And that is that we can sing a new song if the song we sing provides new understanding of God's truth, goodness, and mercy. But can we do this for a song we've sung before? And I would like to claim that yes, we can. Now, our enthusiastic song leader, whose song leading I very much appreciated today, has been good enough to share with me the next song that we are going to sing. And so I'd like everyone who has a hymnal, both in Italian and in English, to turn to page number 171. And this will also save a bit of time once this message is over. And don't worry if you don't have a hymnal, because I'm going to read it to you. Because as I say, I claim that we can sing songs we've sung before as new songs to our God because we can extract from them new understanding of God's truth, God's goodness, and God's mercy. So let's look at page number 171 together. This is One Faith, One Love. Okay? And I think that this song is particularly appropriate for this occasion. And I didn't even ask our song leader to pick this song. He did on his own, which I think goes to show God's involvement today. It says, throughout the earth, our Father, we revere thee. So everyone from different parts of the earth praising God. Led by thy Son in Christ, together we stand true. We stand together. One faith, one love. Thy Spirit binds us firmly, the Spirit of God binding us all together here, regardless of where we are from, like a family. As sons and daughters, continuing that theme, blessed in thy view, from many lands, again, we raise our eyes toward thee, all of us from everywhere on this earth looking upward, recognizing that that is our true origin and that is our true destination. We came from God, and God willing, we will join his kingdom as well. and our voices join as one great family. And the song continues. From many nations of the earth do we hail, of course, with many tongues we form our praise to thee. Across the seas, from mountain, isle, and deep vale, we've all come from across the seas. Our sons and daughters in one love agree. And as we strengthen one another in thee, thy spirit binds in perfect harmony. And I would encourage everyone, as we sing this, immediately now, to think about the words as it pertains to our particular special occasion here at the Feast of Tabernacles, among so many from different places, different languages, different cultures, but that we are all of one family. And if you can succeed, as I believe we all can, in singing this song with new understanding and new perspective, then we will all succeed together now in singing a new song to our God.